Father, I trust that we have come with open hearts. I trust that in the midst of this time that we have been together, that your word has been sown on the good ground. That it has not been scattered to the wayside. That it not has not been strewn, as it were, through the rocks, nor in the area or in the arena by which weeds and thistles, as well as thorns, might grow up to choke it. Father, we are coming to the end of this time frame, and it's always the critical time. It's always the time of decision. Not so much in what it is we decide in this environment, but whether or not we are able to push it and to persevere,
Jesus,
under the covering of that which we have heard. And Father, it is one thing to hear it. It's another thing to have it worked within the fabric of our character, so that character is changed. Not for the moment.
Yes.
Not for the small space of time. But irrevocably changed.
Yes, Yeshua.
Irrevocably transformed.
Amen.
Forever.
That in its change, and in the newness of that change, there is no shadow of turning. There is no ability for the devil to come and to work his wiles upon us or around us and find ourselves once again back into that place of transgression and self-absorption. My God, I pray that you would make this word that we have been hearing, a living reality in the days to come.
Yes, sure.
Yes.
And Father, help us to understand the critical nature of it.
Amen.
To us as individuals, in our position of living and relationship. We are living at the prefaces of time and eternity. And Father, what we do determines where it is that we will be in the finale of that day. My God, help us to understand that we have a responsibility to move and to do that which you are speaking unto each and every heart. Not only over this last weekend, but in the days that are to come. I pray, Father, that you would give us the urgency.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That we might understand that it could well be that our physical life depends upon it.
Yes.
Our spiritual life depends upon it. My God, give us that reality. My God, give us that urgency.
Hallelujah.
I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I ask, Father, that you have control over my mind.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, Lord.
And my thoughts are not my preconceived thinking.
Amen.
But they are thoughts that you want to have spoken. Father, you commissioned me. You said if I open my mouth, you would fill it. And I call upon that word that it would be a manifestation at this particular time. I ask, Father, that my emotions not be those that are human. I do not want to feel what my flesh would want to feel. I want to feel what God would feel.
Amen.
Oh my God, help me.
Yes,
help me, Lord, in my desires. Oh, the desire that you would be preeminent.
Oh, yes.
It says that, God, you must be a priority.
Yes.
You must be something that is first and foremost. That you must be preeminent in all of those aspects of my desires. I ask for that position, that place, that manifestation. And I pray for the ears of the hearers, Lord. You see the various set of circumstances. You see the various positions or the place of growth and the development as well as maturity, or even that of adolescent or child. My God! Hallelujah! I pray that those ears would be anointed this evening, this morning. I pray, Father, that they do not hear the syllables or the syntax, the aspects of it, Lord, the synopsis of it, but they hear the Word of God.
Yes.
That is pertinent to their particular set of circumstances.
Yes.
And that Word, as they chew on it, my God, will unfold.
Yes.
And bring to them the road by which they might be delivered.
Yes.
Unto that heavenly calling, that heavenly election. So, Father, we commit this day, we commit this meeting, we commit this time unto your hands. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Oh my goodness, you guys don't have any energy. No excitement. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when we say these, the song says these pages are stained with the blood of the martyrs. You know, can any of you look at your Bibles and see the blood of the martyrs? I don't want to be guilty of their blood. If they're on each and every page that is written here, not just those who the Bible writes about, but the multitude of humanity that paid the price in order to print it and to circulate it and to translate it and to do all of the things that are necessary. And no telling how much death and blood was shed in the preserving of it. Hallelujah. We take this thing we call the Bible so very lightly. We take it so very lightly. Possibly we don't even hardly even read it very much. Hallelujah. I know I have been guilty of that many times, but I'm trying to change. Praise God. You know, this has been a glorious time.
Amen.
It's been a very fearful time, because for me personally, because I am cognizant of God's jurisdiction over it. And I'm very cognizant of the time frame that we are living in, as far as world affairs are concerned, as far as national affairs are concerned of our own country, the devil rising up, persecution of Christianity. It used to be the United States was a safe haven for Christians to come to. Many Christians have fled to the United States because of their whatever their religious convictions were and the persecution. Hallelujah. But every day a little more of that disappears. A little every day a little more evaporates. And you see laws and things being passed that make it a criminal act to preach the truth and to preach righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we should make the most of the time that we have left.
Yes, help us,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We should make the most of the time that we have left. And brethren, some of us, if not all of us, and when I say us, I'm including me in that statement. If you'd like me to specifically mention myself first, I wouldn't mind doing that at all. But the onus is upon us to change. If you're waiting for some magical wand of God to be waved over your circumstances, waved over your situations, and all of a sudden you are a different person, you will be waiting a long time. And you may miss the change. Because you see, God has given you and I the authority by which to do it. And the authority is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the authority is in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The blood gives us the access by which we might move under the auspices of the covering of God. But the Holy Spirit brings us into the position or the place of authority. Because truth is authority. Yeah. And it's not only truth about what's going on around us, but it's the truth about who I am in the natural and how insignificant and how low bite it is in comparison to what it is God wants me to be in the Spirit. You know, Paul had a revelation. It was not a revelation of condemnation, by the way. Do you hear me? You can get a revelation of yourself, but it can be a revelation of condemnation. Hallelujah. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He had a revelation of who he was in the natural. He had a revelation of the fact of what it was that he could do in the natural arena. And he knew the jeopardy of that position of living. Hello? And he used that understanding, he used that revelation of who and what he was as far as his wretchedness was concerned as a springboard. He used it as a springboard to jump up higher into God. Hallelujah. And you know, there are several things that one of the things that come to me right at this moment is that many of us have to deal with a spirit of depression. We have to deal with the spirit of oppression. Okay. Oppression brings depression. Hallelujah. And depression comes because we're looking back.
Yes.
It's not because we're looking forward. Paul had a spiritual exercise. He says, I set my sights. I set my point of interest where?
Toward the mark.
Toward the goal. He pushes on. He does not turn around and look back. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, I think we have... Have you ever been in those house of mirrors? You got a mirror in front of you. You got a mirror behind you. Hallelujah. Well, we have two mirrors. One has the reflection of Christ. And the other one has the reflection of us. Hallelujah. And every time we turn around and look backwards, we do not see Christ. We see us. And we're depressed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we need to understand the intent and the thought of God in what it is He's desiring for us to do. We should be beyond certain aspects of the things that we are dealing with. But we do not have that constant position of fellowship that brings to us the assurance of that reality of who God is.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Last night in the meeting, I'm going to jump. You're going to have to follow me. Last night in the meeting, we had a message on the Liber Mission News. I don't know how many of you saw it. Amen. It came from Brother Jamal. And if many of you might not know who Brother Jamal is, but we have two brothers. who are basically the mainstay of the work in Ethiopia. Hallelujah. And they're not just, to Nancy and I, they're not just Christian brothers, but they're part of the family of God. Amen. And they're part of our family. Hallelujah. And Brother Jamal and his wife have a peculiar ministry of, he works in the prophetic realm, but he also has a ministry of intercession. And him and his wife work together in that arena with the Lord. And he oftentimes gets words. And I have found those words to be very credible. So I have to pay attention to them.
Amen.
Oh, yesterday, when we were in the meeting and the Spirit was following, I get a text. And by the way, this was probably, what time was it? 7 o'clock? Is it, huh? So what time would that be in Ethiopia?
7 hours.
Huh?
8 hours.
7 hours.
Oh, 8 hours from here, yeah. 3 or 4 in the morning.
It's 4 in the morning. Brother Jamal's up at 4 in the morning praying.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God begins to move, and he gets this word, and I think it's very pertinent to us as a fellowship, as a people, because I think the devil is outside there waiting for you. You each have your own personal devils out there. And they're all lined up. And when you walk out there, they're going to just fall in line right behind you, whoever you are. And you're going to have to deal with them and overcome them. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, they're right out there. I see them lined up. It doesn't make any which way you go. Your devil's going to be there. Hallelujah. Why? Because if you take what God is saying seriously, then you are a threat. You're a threat to the kingdom of hell. You're a threat to the kingdom, to the devil in his hierarchy. You know, I wish we as Christians were as diligent about God's business as the devil is diligent about his business. And if you think the devil is sloppy, and you don't think, and you think the devil is disorganized, I've got another thought for you. He is very, very organized, very proficient. And you know what? He's usually 2 steps ahead of the church. Hello? Hallelujah. And that really should not be so. That should not be the case, should it, Brother Craig? We should be right on top of it because we have something the devil doesn't have. Do you know what you have? You have the omni power of God inside of you. The omni-ness of God. May I say it like that?
Amen.
That's inside of you. That means all-knowing. That means all-knowledge. I mean, all-knowing, all-presence, all-power. You have it. You have it. Or maybe something was missing when you got Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, the natural realm, the DNA of the parents determine everything about you and I. Isn't that right? Am I medically correct? DNA determines everything about us. And that DNA is in the blood. Hello? Is that right? So, what happens when you receive the blood of Jesus Christ? You have the DNA of God in you. Hallelujah. That is supposed to replicate what? Huh? Well, yes, but let's put it in a generic term. God. We're afraid of it. Huh? That DNA is supposed to replicate God. Oh, yes, it is. Either God meant what he said, or you need to tear Genesis out of your book. Huh? You go in there and you black out verse 26 of chapter 1. Black it out. If it's not true, black it out. Hallelujah. Because it says, let us. And they had and it's the only place in the Bible where God uses the terminology us. Now, you know, and it's very significant too, by the way, because in the Hebrew, he doesn't say us in the preceding verses, he says Elohim. And Elohim is the plural of God. It doesn't mean just God, it means gods. So Elohim said, let us. Hallelujah. They had a council in the midst of heaven between God the Father. It is almost as though God in that moment, in that time, broke himself up in three separate entities and said, let us, let God the Father, let God the Son, let God the Holy Spirit, let us agree. The Bible says, unless you are in agreement one with the other, what happens? You can't walk together. Hello? So you have the us, hallelujah, who want to participate in making the them. Did you hear me? It was not an it was a them. Oh yes. He didn't say he, she, he said them. He said, let us make them. And how? How am I going to make them? How are we going to make them? That means we're going to make them like us.
Amen.
My goodness. Hallelujah. And you know, quite frankly, brethren, we really do not comprehend the reality of what God was saying in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Because we have no thought or idea that God was projecting something down there in the future where he would need man in order to do what God wanted to do, to step up to a higher level of godness. Come on. I'm really going to get in trouble for this. You wait and see. Hallelujah. But it has to be so, because there is something in the scripture where God is saying it has not entered into the what? Mind of man. Somebody get the scripture. Read it to me. It has not entered into the mind of man what it is that God, what? Prepare for who? Humanity. A collective unit of humanity moving together in John 17 as one entity. Hallelujah. Now, brethren, I'm not usurping the position or the authority of my Elohim. Isaiah 64. Somebody read it.
For since the beginning of the world.
Okay, stop right there. No, you can give her the mic. She's not finished. Since the beginning of what?
The world.
Where is the beginning of the world? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So what God is telling us, that he created the world for a purpose and an intent that he had with regard to man. Because the subject of the verse is man. Hello, go ahead, read some more.
Men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him.
That waiteth for him. It's a stipulation. There's a criteria that has to be met. There's a criteria that has to be performed. There's a stipulation. I have the responsibility to wait upon the Lord. What also that tells me is that if I wait upon the Lord, There's a possibility that He will begin to reveal to me the revelation of why He has created man in the beginning and His intent for it. Hello? Not just sitting in a congregation listening to somebody telling me what it is, but getting into the Word of God, getting into fasting and prayer. Hello? Brethren, if you're not fasting in these days, I suggest that you go to God and ask Him if it's necessary. Because I think it's critical. I think it's critical. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a thought, there's an intent that God has, and God is looking in the midst of humanity. Hallelujah. It says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, seeking. Throughout all the earth. Seeking what? That means God's eyes right now are here. God's eyes right here. Eyes are right now here with you. And God's eyes are here with you, but God's eyes are going to go with you. When you walk out that door into the world, hallelujah, and he's going to be examining your heart and your actions speak louder than words, by the way. And it's not just your actions, it's your thoughts. Because God is not so much manipulated by actions as He is by what is the intent of the heart. So it's a hard issue that God wants to deal with. It's a hard issue that God wants you to change in the process of you being here, hearing the Word, and what it is you do with the Word when you leave here. You know, we as a people, well, maybe some are exempt, I don't know, that would be between you and God. We as a people are guilty of the sin of Onan. You know what the sin of Onan was? Huh? The whole story of Onan and what was her name?
Tamar.
Huh? Tamar. The whole story of Onan and Tamar is a story of Christ in the church. Hello? The Jewish custom, the Jewish law, was that when the brother died, the next brother in the succession of brothers would marry the wife and to bring forth children under the name of the previous husband, under the husband who died. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing because it was quite a deal that went on there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when Onan, and it is really the story of Christ in the church, because we have been delegated to bring forth spiritual children as unto Christ. When you go into Matthew, and it says that Jesus Christ was cut off. Somebody can find that verse so we can give it to them so they will know what it is. It says He was cut off. And I think it's in the Old Testament too. He was cut off in the midst of his life. And then it says, who shall declare what? His generation. Who's going to bring children up to Him? Hallelujah. But Onan wanted the position or the right of self-preservation. He didn't want to bring children up to his gone and past brother. He wanted to bring up children unto himself. He wanted to be pastor.
Hallelujah.
He wanted a denomination. He wanted authority over that denomination. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. He didn't want
He didn't want to. He didn't want to have to take care and to see the inheritance going to the older brother. You saw, see, when his brother died, Onan thought that it was a favor to him. Hello? Because now he was the firstborn. The succession of brothers, they just kept dying off. Hallelujah. He was now the firstborn. Do you hear what I'm saying? As firstborn, he now had the right of the inheritance of his father. Hello? Hallelujah. And if he brought children up unto his brother,
hallelujah,
he was out of his inheritance. You know, there was a motive behind what was going on there. And there are several things in the Bible that have several different types and shadows depending on how you're looking at it.
That's why what's-his-name wouldn't marry Ruth.
That's exactly right. That was another issue. But right now we're dealing with Tamar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He did not want the inheritance of his father to go to the progenitors that would be coming forth in lieu of his position or place of being firstborn. Self-preservation. Hallelujah. I want to go back to Jeremiah, and I want to share with you this word that Brother Jamal brought before I get too far along. And let me say one thing. I think we miss a lot by not being able to stream the meetings. I understand the mechanics of it. I understand the difficulty of it. I also understand the fact that sometimes it's not possible, but we should get prepared to where it is that we might be able to do that. Because, you know, there are other people who would be listening in on the live streaming who the Lord might speak to concerning something. I've had that happen before in meetings. Huh? Had a person one time calling up from Africa and sharing a vision or sharing a word or sharing something the Lord had spoken to them in the midst of what was going on at that time frame. And also, the video type situation. You know, the little thing that was being put up there last night, it was very good. Hallelujah. And it helps me. Hallelujah. It helps me because when I'm looking at it, God begins to show me something else that isn't there, that is there, that isn't there. Huh? Hallelujah. Anyway, back to Brother Jamal. This particular word is found in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. I suggest that you go home, you read Jeremiah 5, you read Jeremiah 6, and you read Jeremiah 7, but verse 16 is the verse that he sent me, but I'm going to read a verse above it. The whole thing deals with rebellion of God's people. Now, brethren, God looks at rebellion, or looks at actions and sees them as rebellion in a way that may be entirely different than what we look at it. Hello? Hallelujah. Not talking about sin outright. I'm not talking about being in that position or that place of sinning as we would mention sinning, drinking, carousing, talking bad, looking at things we shouldn't look at, hearing things that we should not hear, although we might be involved in some of that. Hallelujah. But what I am talking about is obedience to the Word of God. Hallelujah. obedience to the Word of God. Hallelujah. And when we are not obedient to the Word of God, hello, God looks at it as rebellion. You know, it can be active rebellion. I don't believe that. I'm not going to do that. Or it can be passive rebellion. Do you know there was a country that won their independence on passive rebellion?
India.
India. Mahatma Gandhi. They didn't have to fire any bullets. They just sat down on railroad tracks and was out in the middle of the road and did all kinds of things. Passive rebellion, doing nothing.
Amen.
And when we hear a word and we do nothing, that's passive rebellion. Hallelujah. Maybe you think God doesn't see it. Maybe you don't think God was even here at the time frame that that word was being shared. But, you know, I don't know. Do you even go to God to get something from God to determine whether it was His word or not? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me give you another example. Dreams. We have a dream. And half the time we don't even think it's worth anything and we just throw it away. Hallelujah. We just throw it away. You should never throw a dream away. Never. It may not be anything, but there should be somebody around that you can trust with the dream, to talk to about the dream. And that can you? It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word of God be established. Huh? And many of us have troubles and tribulations because we ignored a dream that God gave us. And I'm not telling you need to interpret your own dream. You can't. You shouldn't. It's not that you can't. God can give you the revelation of it. But it's not. It's spiritual suicide. Because you can make the dream fit what is in your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And also, I might also add, you just don't want to share your dream with anybody. Because some dreams are very personal. And some dreams are very revealing. You may not know the revelation of it. You may not know the understanding of it. But they can be very destructive if they're in the wrong hands. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember a meeting, and not only that, dreams and visions, but words of prophetic utterance, for lack of a better term. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember Brother Campbell. I was sharing, I think, in the elders' meeting this morning. I remember Brother Campbell, several years back, came, and he shared a message. And the message was that the Holy Place Church was in the sewer. Any of you remember that message?
Oh, yes.
Huh? Remember it? They were laden down by what? What were they laden down by?
Treasures.
Prosperity.
Prosperity. All kinds of jewels.
Huh?
Treasures.
They had all kinds of things. Jewels, money. And I think there was even one person that was wearing several coats.
Oh, yeah. His pockets were too stuffed.
And they could not get out. And there was a flood coming down the tube. And everybody was trying to scramble up this one little ladder. Some of them couldn't even get on the ladder because of what they had was too heavy. And they were not willing to part with it. How many of you went to God and said, God, where in that sewer am I? Where am I in this collection? Or maybe I'm exempt. Maybe I'm exempt from it in some way, some manner. I have an exemption. Hallelujah. Well, if you did not do anything, if you did not go to God, if you weren't seeking the face of God concerning it, well, you evidently thought you were exempt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I go back over here. You need to read the chapter before that. And fact of the matter is, you should read the fourth chapter too, by the way. You should do a little study. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Maybe 8. I didn't go that far last night. I just read the chapter before, and the chapter that was in, and the chapter after that. But I'm reminded of chapter 4 now. Because that is a chapter that explains the condition that was happening in chapter 1 of Genesis. Huh? And it labeled the context of the whole issue of church. Hello? One of rebellion and sedition. Did you hear me? One of rebellion and sedition. And it's not the heathen out there. It's the holy place church.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Because in the sixth chapter, he begins to deal with Jerusalem. Huh? Wasn't there a teaching here somewhere, time down back somewhere, where they were lining up the various aspects of Israel with the different compartments of the holy place? Huh? And Israel was like in the outer court. Jerusalem was like in the holy place. And Mount Zion, where was that?
Holy of Holies.
It was the Holy of Holies. And this chapter is dealing with the holy place as well as the Holy of Holies. Well, now, we're not in the Holy of Holies at the moment. So it is dealing with those individuals who believe or desire in some way or another to be a participator in that aspect of going through the veil. But there's an issue. There's an issue. There's something that has to be dealt with. And that position of dealing is called rebellion. Not only is it called rebellion, but it is called idol worship. Now, brethren, what I would really suggest is that when you leave here, you go on the website that they put out there and download all of these messages. They're there. I downloaded them this morning. All of the ones that were there. Download them and begin to run them over. And run them over. And when you begin to run them over, He has got to give you the spirit of discernment, the spirit of understanding, and the spirit of revelation. Not about things around you, but with things that are in you. Because quite frankly, hallelujah, you are responsible. I am responsible for working out my own salvation with what?
Fear.
Fear and trembling. Fear of what? Fear of missing God.
Yes.
Not just missing God, but missing the promise that God has for me concerning the end time, concerning the message that I have been given. You know, brethren, you would not be held responsible, and the consequences of that the consequences of neglecting that responsibility would be less if you had never heard this word. Huh? If you were an outer court Christian, hallelujah, the only thing that you would be responsible for in that environment, because God would have to bring you a word that would lift you up out of that place to a higher realm, or at least whet your appetite. The only thing that you are responsible for is the act of the brazen altar and the brazen laver. That's all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But for those who have been enlightened, those who have their eyes open, those who have tasted of the heavenly calling, of the heavenly gifts, the consequences of not being obedient are far greater. Far greater. And I'm not going to go into those consequences. You can go and ask God what they are. But they are far greater for me. To whom much is given, what?
Much more is required of
me. That means to the degree of what I know, my path becomes more and more and more tight. My path becomes more and more narrow, more constricted, more confined, more in a position or a place of trouble and tribulation. So I have a greater responsibility to concentrate more on the reality of making God preeminent in my life. Hello? It doesn't make any difference what's all going on around me. You want to preach too, don't you? Hallelujah. Makes no difference what's going on around me. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, your environment might not be conducive to advancing that reality, okay? That your environment may not be conducive to the advancement and the maturity of that environment of your spiritual growing. But I'm telling you, it has no power to hamper you. Do you hear me? If you desire to know God, if you want the reality of God in the reality that God wants to manifest Him in this hour, in this time, in this place, your environment may not be conducive to that, but you cannot stop God from bringing you into a higher realm of understanding and maturity. And if the environment that you are in, I'm talking about a religious environment, is not conducive to hear this, and to recognize the change, your environment will vomit you out. Amen. And it will be your deliverance.
Amen.
It will be your deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go back to Jamal. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to figure out where I should start here. You'll have to read it. I'm going to go up here and I'm just really jumping into the middle of it. God is talking about the judgment that is coming to Jerusalem. He's talking about the judgment that is coming to Zion. Let me start at chapter 6. 6 is the number of man. Hallelujah. Oh boy, maybe I should start on another verse. Alright, verse 12. And their houses should be turned unto others. He's talking about judgment now. With their fields and their wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Now, we have to keep in mind, also concerning all of this, what has preceded this morning's message. We were talking about the locusts and all of the things that locusts do, and the manifestation of it as it is being portrayed in a natural event concerning people and lands and places, right? Hallelujah. So this is somewhat, in some manner, a continuation of that manifestation. It says, I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Now please keep in mind, he's not talking about a heathen nation. He's talking about Israel with regards to Jerusalem and Zion in particular. So judgment was now coming against the house of God. Hallelujah. What does the Bible say about that? Huh? Where does judgment come first? Which house we are. But what is our hope of deliverance in that? There's a scriptural promise, a scriptural position or place of refuge. What is our position of safety? All right, I'll tell you. If you judge yourselves,
you will not be judged.
What? Come on, brethren. What does it say? Ye shall not be judged. So, God given us the first opportunity of judgment.
Hallelujah.
And brethren, in this judgment, no leniency is going to be acceptable.
That's right. That's
right. There's no, what do they call it? Plea bargaining. There's no plea bargaining here.
Uh-huh.
You can't agree to a lesser crime.
Amen.
Hello. Hallelujah. So, judgment is now becoming evident. Hallelujah. You know, when the Bible says that the outer court shall be given to the Gentiles, and it shall what? Be tread underfoot. All you have to do is look at what is happening in Northern Africa. You know, some of those people are genuine Christians. You know that.
Huh?
Some of them genuine people are, regardless whether in the Coptic church or whatever church it may be, some of those people are genuine Christian people. Hello? Who are being martyred for the sake of their Christianity.
Yes, that's right.
Hello? Here in our own country, man, a boy went into school and asked him, are you a Christian? If they said yes, he shot him in the head.
Yes.
Huh? If they said no, he shot him in the leg. You had a choice to make. And tell me, the choice was harder to make after the second one went down, after the first one went down. Hello? How many of us would have had the tenacity and the determination? Huh? How many of us would have had the tenacity and the determination not to renege? And we think that we are safe in our sealed houses. But I think the Bible says, woe unto you who dwell in sealed houses.
Yeah.
Do you think these guys, you think some of these people, these influential people of some of those countries, do you think they weren't affluent? Do you don't think that they were in some manner or fashion prospering? Some of them had business, nice homes, cars to drive, children in school. Hallelujah. Just recently in Nigeria, here about several months ago, 4 months, 5 months ago, they went into a school and shot down 145 students who were Christian.
Well, then they went into Hubert's house too.
Well, yes, they went into Hubert's house too. Shot them up. But I'm telling you something, brethren. There is trouble, not just globally, but in our own arena of experience. And we think because we're living in a law and order, and we have an authority of police around us, that we are exempt. You're not exempt. You are a Christian. You are marked on. You have been marked by the devil.
That's right.
You're not only Christian, but you have a particular word, and you have heard something in the spirit concerning that word, and you have said, yes, I want that word. That's double mark. Huh? That's double mark. That's double mark. You are a threat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the solution to our dilemma is the reality of a living God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the reality of a living God. It's verse 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest. Now, what does this do? This says, from the least of them. You know, young people, you're not exempt.
Amen.
You children, you're not exempt.
Right.
You're not exempt. You're not exempt. You're not exempt because you're a child or our children or a young person. You're not exempt. You have been under a word, and there has been something of a stirring in your hearts that God has stirred concerning the Word of God. And you are not exempt. And you have great, you have just the greatest, greater, great as responsibility as your parents do. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the Bible tells the parents, raise up a child, what? In the admonition of God. Look it up. Examine the words. To admonish somebody. What does it mean? Huh? It means to instruct. It means to chastise. It means to lead by example. It means to encourage. Hallelujah.
What a
reference. This message of sounded from it in Joel.
Yes.
It didn't just include the elders. It said gather the children and those that suck the breast.
Hey, man. We don't think these little kids, these little toddlers, they don't think that they get very much. Maybe we don't think that they get very much out of God, but we have to admonish them. We have to train them and teach them and admonish them in the instruction of God.
Admonish does mean to warn or reprimand someone
firmly. Not wishy-washy, not in anger. Firmly. It's like somebody coming up to you and saying, I'm not going to tell you again. Anybody ever had the finger of God in their face saying, I'm not going to tell you again?
That's a threat.
Have anybody had that experience?
Huh?
Yes, but I had God said, I'm not going to tell you again. He didn't have to tell me again. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. From the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Now, brethren, I don't have, if this is word from God, if God is speaking to me as a part of Jerusalem or a part of Zion, I don't have to go to God and say to Him, am I a part of it? I have to take it at face value. God, show me my covetousness.
Amen.
What is it that I am coveting?
Hallelujah.
Because I do not want to be of a covetous spirit.
Amen.
I do not want to covet something that is not mine to covet. I can desire God. That is what I want to desire. Covetousness is a realm of the desires, I believe. Huh?
Yeah.
It's not a realm of the emotions. It's a realm of a desire. I look at a nice, shiny new car and I can covet it. Oh, I would really like to have that. Huh? Hello? I can look at something and I want to eliminate I want. I want to eliminate the word I want out of my vocabulary. That's what I want. I want what is legal to want. Huh? Because one of the condemnation is one of the condemnations or the words of judgment is my people do not know me. They do not know me because they don't want me. If I want something, I'm going to know something about it. Hello? Hallelujah. You ever go to buy something, you're thinking about something, and you go on the internet and begin to investigate it and look at it and see what how it's made, where it's made, and what is the quality of it, and blah, 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 blah. Huh? Why are you doing that? Because you want it. And you're trying to convince yourself, that it's the best thing that you can do is to get it. Huh? I came, I saw, I bought. Hallelujah. You know, some people want preeminence. They'll maybe want preeminence. They want to be recognized. So they're always bragging about what they are and what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're always bragging about what they do. Oh, you should have heard what I said to that man. I said blah, 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 blah. Huh? Or you should have seen how I moved in this situation. This guy did that, but I moved in and I did that. Huh? Why are you telling me? Why are you telling me? Oh, you go to the store. You see the good deal I got today. Huh? Hallelujah. Why am I telling somebody that? Why? I want attention. I want somebody that, oh, wow, you're really something. You did that?
Yeah.
Huh? And I want to show them I know more than the other man does. And I want to tell them I know more than you.
That's right.
So you better not mess with me. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How about if I'm always looking and picking out the fault?
Yeah.
You ever have those situations? Huh? You get involved in a situation and this is out of sorts and that is out of sorts and that is out of sorts. And then you go home and you start talking to your husband and wife and saying this was out of sorts and that was out of sorts. And they were doing this and they were doing that and they do that and that. Why are you telling me that? Why are you telling? Because you want them to know that you're aware of it. That makes you better. You're looking at me strange. Hallelujah. You know, God is a very practical God. He's very practical, very practical. And we are involved in things of practicality. There are things going on in our lives. Huh? There used to be an expression, a positive thinking expression. When I was growing up back in maybe the 70s, I don't know. It was called positive thinking. Accentuate the positive and
eliminate the negative.
And get rid of the negative. I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not talking about positive thinking. There are maladies and there are difficulties and there are troubles and people are dealing with spirits. Yes. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, one of the questions I ask when I come into one of these environments is, Lord, what am I contributing to it? I have to turn it around to me. Am I encouraging it?
Yes.
Hello? You know, some of the things that we utter in certain environments about people that are negative loses spirits. Did you know that?
Yes.
It loses spirits. And those spirits go out to conform that individual to the thought or the pattern that you have in your mind concerning them. And you are a particular source of energy and vitality because you are a Christian. You have life in you.
Amen.
And the life in you is better than a dead man who is alive. It's energy. But it's not the same quality of energy. So that devil can do much more on the energy that you generate and what you have spoken. And he runs under the authority of that word. Hallelujah. And you know what? All of these things are going to be rehearsed when I stand before the judgment seat of God. Huh? All of my carelessness. My careless language. Not only my language, brethren, but my careless thoughts. You know, I have to start orchestrating my thoughts not to think in a particular way. But the first step is to shut my mouth.
That's the first step. Hallelujah. That's the first step. When I was born again, I had what they called a filthy mouth. And it wasn't that my mouth was dirty, it was that my heart was dirty. My heart had been contaminated with foul language. I couldn't talk English. I couldn't talk English without cursing. You understand? I have to throw in 2, 3, 4 curse words in order to make my point. But when I got born again, the first thing God did was tell me to shut my mouth. He told me to shut my mouth. And you know, sometimes I chewed my tongue raw. Hello? You know what they call biting your tongue? And when I didn't bite it on purpose, I bit it accidentally when I was involved in it. I'm telling you the truth, brethren. I'm not making up stories out of school. Hallelujah. And one day, I managed to get my mouth under control.
Hallelujah.
But it was still in my brain.
Hallelujah.
Do you know that these things are indelibly written on your brain? Did you know that? Indelibly written on your brain. So I was not speaking it, but I was thinking it. Hallelujah. And I went down before God in prayer and fasting. I said, God, it says, out of the heart the abundance of the mouth speaketh. Cleanse my heart.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, all hell broke loose. I was put into circumstances and situations that the only remedy was a good cussing. Hallelujah. But I refused to cuss. I refuse to allow that language to come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Hello? And I don't know how long I had to deal with it, but somewhere down the road, God delivered me.
Hallelujah.
And when it says that He will wipe the slate clean,
Amen.
He took and wiped my brain. Like you would wipe a computer hard drive. He wiped my brain. Hallelujah. And you know how He showed that? You probably heard the story already. But one day, I was doing carpentry. And we had these big 20-ounce, 22-ounce hammers. They got that waffle head, you know what I mean? And we were driving nails. And we were in a competition. I was in competition with another carpenter. We were seeing who could... He was on one side of the wall, and I was down on the other end of the wall. It's laying down, and we're going down the road. You know what I mean? Good carpenter can sink that nail. It's a 16-penny nail. He can sink it in 3 blows. Hallelujah. And he doesn't worry about his fingers because he's a professional. That first hit, you come down and it sinks it, you know. You hold it until that hit the hammer, and then your brain just seems to coordinate. And then the second blow sends it out, and the third blow sets it into the wood. Hello, I couldn't do it now though. Hallelujah. Well, about halfway down the wall, I come down with a hammer, and man, I hit my thumb. Blood went in everywhere. Hallelujah. I grabbed that thumb, and I started dancing around. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Heal it. Heal it. Heal it. Not one cuss word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, the guy I was working with thought I was crazy. I called his son. I'm not cussing. I'm not thinking. I'm saying, oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I had a hallelujah party right there in the middle of that framing of that building. Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
He says, this is the back end of verse 14. Hallelujah. 13. It says, for of the least of them unto the greatest of them, every one of them is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. God forbid, God help us. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, yes. How many of you think you've got 30 more years? How many of you think you've got 30 more years? And you don't know what's going to happen between now, here, and next year, November of 16. Hallelujah. Where were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, were they not all ashamed, neither could they blush, therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I am preluding all of that to get to this verse 16, because what I believe God is trying to accomplish in the word that He gave our dear brother Jamal is that God is admonishing us and showing us the consequence of inactivity. I'm not saying that this is irreversible. What I am saying is that God is giving us an ability and an authority by which we might redeem the time that is necessary for us to conform and to be configured to His position of approval. That's what I believe.
Amen.
I believe that is one of the reasons why the conferences have taken on a different tone. You know, I was in Germany. Oh, what a marvelous time we had. My God. Hallelujah. And I can remember, hallelujah, there at the end of the day when we were there, we all gathered around in a circle. We're all holding hands. And the Spirit of God came down in the midst of that little house that we were in. Hello? God's Spirit came down. Hallelujah. And there was a spirit of intercession and a spirit of prayer that was prevailing in that environment. And I said to the people, I said, God is here in the midst. And there is a spirit of travail. If you have a prayer, if you have a burden, now is the time to pray. One person prayed. And he began to pray about the atheistic spirit. Now, I could not understand what he was saying. Sometimes hard of hearing or not hearing is convenient for me, and it's very conducive to me hearing from God. Hallelujah. I could not hear what he was saying, but what he was praying for was the atheistic spirit that rules over the Czech Republic. And as he began to pray, oh, God came down and began to anoint him. And he began to move and to begin to pray. Hallelujah. And he began to bind and come against that spirit of atheism. And in his heart, as he was praying, he told me later, he was praying, Lord, I'm not satisfied with this spiritual manifestation. I want a literal example of the moving of God concerning what I am praying for. So as he was praying, I'm not knowing what he's praying. I can't understand the words of what he's saying. Praise the Lord. I'm having a vision. And in the vision, I see the man praying, but out of his mouth is going lightning that's on fire. Hallelujah. And I see up there behind the circle of us, there's this big ornate throne. Big ornate throne. And it was more like a building than a throne. It had two spires on each side of the seat in which an individual was sitting, and it went up, way up, and the back of it was curved, very elaborate, very ornate, like you would see in a Catholic church or something. I don't know. Hallelujah. And it had these little gargoyles all over it. You know, when you go into London and you walk down downtown London, you have all of these gargoyles and these figures, these demons that are on the walls and sculptured in stone. And I saw the fire come out of his mouth. And it went up and it smote that curved section of that edifice. Hallelujah. And when it smote, it split it. It just split, and I heard the cracking of it. And the man that was sitting upon the throne, as it went like this, he dropped into the abyss that was below it. Hallelujah. That man went home. And his testimony of what he found when he went home concerning an individual who was a not just an atheist. Huh?
More than a devout, a fanatical atheist.
And the woman, nature was very rough and very mean and very brutal, very, very brutal. He went home to find that she had been put in the hospital and that she only had a certain time to live. But in the hospital, something happened to her and the nurse that was tending her, she asked the nurse to pray for her.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What could we have done if more would have responded? What could have happened if more would have taken the advantage of it? Oh my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is admonishing us. But I'm telling you something else that I believe that God is doing. God is giving us an authority.
Amen.
If we are willing to use it.
Yes.
If we are willing to pay down what it would take in order for us to be able to use it. God is giving us an authority. Hallelujah. Now, when we are traveling, I always like Brother Mark to pray for people. Because I've... Yes, you. Hallelujah. I'm not pumping you up. I'm just telling something that I believe. Hallelujah. Because the man has a simple faith.
Yeah.
Simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's not complicated. If he believes something, God is telling him to do something and to pray for something, he has a simple faith that God will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So I'm always pushing him up there in the front.
She has it too.
I don't know about her. I just know about you. Hallelujah. But I have noticed something here of late. Hallelujah. I've been put into some situations where I have had to pray for people. Simple things. Not complicated things. And as I have prayed, the prayer is almost answered instantaneously. Now, it's not my faith. It's not my position or my place. Not my faith. That is necessarily working in that environment. But God is trying to encourage me.
Amen.
God is saying, yes, you can do it.
Amen.
Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. You can do it. Yes, you can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there's an authority that God is giving us. It's just not all doom and gloom. It's an authority that God is giving us in the aspect. So if I have a problem, if there's something of an issue that I have concerning my involvement with something or my habits or whatever it may, I have been given an authority to overcome it. If I make up my mind to do it, I have to make up my mind. Hallelujah. 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 And it says here in verse 15, the last part, at that time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path. Yeah. God is admonishing you and I to get back to the basics of it. It is a relationship with God. Yeah. It is a position of intense pressing and intense desire that desires to see the face of God. He says, get back to the old path. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I think about the old path, I think about men like Abraham. I think about men like Enoch. I think about men like maybe even Adam in some respects. I think about men like Noah. You know what it says about Noah? Noah was perfect in his generation. So there's a perfection that I can come to in my generation.
Yes, amen.
And you know what? I'm going to be judged on the basis of that perfection as to whether or not I have reached that level of maturity. My goodness. Brethren, it is the time to change. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall what? Find rest for your soul. Do you ever want rest for your soul? Oh my God. Hallelujah. But they said, we will not walk therein. God forbid. God forbid. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, it says, shall we that have been saved, go to Romans 6. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does it say? God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, sin is defined by what you know concerning the goodness of God. Hallelujah. So the degree of the goodness of God that I am aware of, sin becomes... My discernment of that sin has to be more critical. Hello? And if you have the goodness of God here, the goodness of God here, a person could do something here that is sin that God will not assess to him in judgment as he would assess to me in judgment from where I am sitting or where I am standing.
Amen.
It becomes a greater liability to me.
Amen.
Because as the way is straight and it's narrow, means it's confining. Hallelujah. So, if I have a word, hallelujah. I don't know how you would equate that particular verse, but the way I always looked at it is that we return to the life from which we were saved from. That's how I equated it. Huh? Doing the same things, and on the lower level, that's what it means. But there's a higher level. There's a greater understanding and a greater responsibility that comes to me in the aspect of the message of death to self. Hello? Hallelujah. I am responsible to submit myself to the process of death and burial.
Yes.
I am responsible. I have to... Oh boy. I have to kill and bury myself. Well, maybe I just dig my grave first and then kill me. Huh? I am responsible for my position of death to self.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I have to resist sin. I have to resist the thought and the idea of sin. I have to resist the concept of the aspect of sin. And the word that I have gives me the ability to do it.
Amen.
If I do not utilize the word, if I do not utilize the accoutrements of that warfare in order to bring myself into the conformity of His death, I am sinning.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that we have a word and we have the ability to deny the power of it. We have the ability to deny the power of it. Hallelujah. And it's my position of responsibility to know what my accountability is. My God, we're not all chosen to walk the same path. But the path that I've been chosen to walk is my responsibility to perform and to do and to know the reality of what it is I have to do in order to be where I want to be at the end of the day. I don't want to be in the categories of they. I want to be in the them or in the us. I don't want to be in the they. They. Need to be careful how I use that from now on. They would not. I don't want to be in that category.
Amen.
And it's not by virtue of my... Father, am I in that category of people? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we have this word that God is bringing to us. Hallelujah. He says here, but they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. How many times have we heard this weekend? Huh? How many times have we heard this particular thought? Hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they
said, we shall not walk.
We shall not hearken. Actions, actions, brethren, actions, actions speak louder than words.
Amen.
Huh? Well, hallelujah. The result of which he says, therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. Hello? Because they have not hearkened unto my words, not to my laws, but rejected. Hallelujah. If you will turn with me over here to Deuteronomy. I never used to be able to say that word. I always got my tongue twisted in my teeth. Hallelujah. And this is when Moses was coming down off of the mount after being in the presence of God. I think that's apropos for us.
What chapter?
I'm getting there. Hallelujah. It is in the 11th chapter, Judy. Hallelujah. He is coming down off of the mount. He had just been in the presence of God. Don't you think that's apropos for us?
Yeah.
Have we been in the mountain? Huh?
Yeah.
Have we held the Spirit of God moving? Huh? We've been blessed. We've been energized, I hope. We've been in that position or that place of being strengthening. Every one of us said, boy, we're going to go out and do a better job now. Isn't that right, Patty?
I hope so.
Yes, I am would be nice. Don't feel bad, Julie. Everyone else in here is saying the same thing. Oh, hallelujah. I want to start at the 16th verse. He says, take heed to yourselves. That your heart be not deceived. Whose responsibility is that? Huh? Yes. It's yours and my responsibility. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. That you what? Turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Oh my goodness. I don't think there's anyone in here who really thinks that they would turn aside to worship some other idol or thought or concept of God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Would you turn with me over into Genesis? I want to go to chapter 3. This is a temptation of the woman, which is the church, by the way. Hallelujah. He comes to her, tempting her. Down in the verse 4, he said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you will surely not die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat, in the day that ye eat, thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as the biggest idol that every one of us has is the idol of self. And the preservation of it. Hallelujah. Those little idols made out of rock and sticks and stones, they have no authority. They are representatives of lesser spirits. You are a different matter. Because you are made in a different way. And you are made with the potential to be God. But you also have the potential to be anti-God. But anti-God is a God. The devil does not have the power to be God. He was not created with God capabilities.
That's right.
He was not created with God potentiality. Only you and I as human beings have that ability to be like God.
Hallelujah.
So the devil has to segregate your godness from the God of Elohim and to assert a position or a place of value by which he can assimilate and usurp that authority and move through that godness.
Right.
Why do you think the Bible calls it Antichrist? Huh? It is a nature that is compatible with that arena of God's. Hello? Huh? But it is a God that is anti-God.
Right.
Hallelujah. So the idol that is set and put on the pedestal is the idol of ourselves. Who you are. What you are. You got a mind of your own, right? You like people telling you what to do? If it's contrary to your thinking? Do you like that? No. Do you like it? Oh no, of course you don't. And you all have your space, right? Huh? You all have. They have to tell me the truth because I'm involved with this. You have your space, right? That's your space. What happens if somebody invades it?
Whoa.
What happens if somebody pushes you? Huh? Angry? Huh? Sometimes you do things you wouldn't want to do necessarily, but you do them because you're angry. Huh? You're asserting your godness. Now you have a responsibility. Huh? You know we're all guilty of it. Especially in marriages. We have the husband God. We have the wife God. Huh? And we have war in heaven. Isn't that right? Huh? Come on. Huh? We have God of male, a male macho-ness, and we have God of women, and they're always. Huh? Why? Because you have this idol. You have this thing of self because you are a God. It's a little bit of truth mixed up with deception.
Amen.
And the devil twists it.
Amen.
And he aggravates your situation so that your godness comes out to the front and you pronounce judgment. Hello?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sticks and stones
may break
my bones. But it's words that really hurt me. Brother, we're dealing. God is getting down to the root of the problem. He says, I am now laying the axe. Do you want to be a part of the elect? Do you want to be? If you don't want to be, you can just write all of this off. Huh? Maybe you can get a deduction on your taxes. I don't know. Hallelujah. It says, ye shall be as gods. Why? Knowing good and evil. Knowing right from wrong. What is the major contention in argument? One is right, one is wrong.
Here's the right one.
One is right and one is wrong. And I'm always the right one and you're always the wrong one. And it not only works in family, siblings, it works from parent to children, children to parent. They're all gods. You got a whole family of gods asserting their godness. Oh yes, you reach a certain age. You think you're mature. Make your own decision. You don't want mom and dad's counsel. Or if it comes, you think you know better. My goodness. I thought my parents were the dumbest things on earth. Up until the time I had kids. And then I knew everything. Hallelujah. You shall be as God. We have, you know when that the prophet was told to dig into the into the wall? He burrowed in like a mole. He burrowed into the holy place. What did he see? He saw the image of jealousy. What did he see? He saw the preeminence of man standing in the holy place. He saw the preeminence of self taking a position of authority as though it was his right and his position, his place to live and sitting, as it were, upon a throne. Huh? No wonder when I first came into this message, it was called Death to Self. We should go back to it. Huh? We should go back to it. The kingdom of God message, the sonship message, it does not portray or to illustrate or give us the thought of what the message is dealing with. I must be crucified, I must be buried, and I must be resurrected. Resurrection is not my business. Although in some respects I think that it is. Because Jesus said, if I have the power to lay down my life, I have the power to take it up again. Hallelujah. 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 Brethren, we are at a crossroads. Hallelujah. Did I finish in Deuteronomy? I don't think so. Go back over here. This is the last meeting, so you guys are not going anywhere in a hurry, right?
Right.
Okay. Hallelujah. And I don't know when the next time I will see you. Praise the Lord. It says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off of the good land which the Lord hath given, that hath given thee. They had not yet gone in, but it was already given. You have not yet gone in, but it's already given.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And these are not talking about natural situations. It's talking about the position, the rain. He says, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, both what? The former and the latter rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that pouring out is supposed to bring bring fruit and to give life. Verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart. God is telling us that the word that God is bringing to us in these days is a word that needs to be stored in our hearts and not necessarily on the hard drive of our phone or our computer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am supposed to become a walking, talking epistle of God.
Amen.
Paul the Apostle says, I have written not on tables of stone, but I have written upon thy heart the precepts and the concepts of the virtue and the knowledge of a living God. He says, you are my epistles. Oh, hallelujah. So we are to be living. Living epistles. Isn't there some scripture that says living epistles?
Huh? We're to be living epistles, read of all men.
Yes, read of all men. Well, what was the word on evangelism yesterday? Huh? Wasn't that speaking about being a living epistle?
Yes.
And you know, brethren, it's one thing to ask God to create, to provide an opportunity. It's another thing for you to begin to create the opportunity.
Yes.
There is something, I don't know if many people picked it up, but Brother Dusil said that in the early days of him and Mavis, when they were ministering together, they would always ask the Lord for a certain number of souls.
Yeah.
If they asked the Lord for six souls, they got six souls that day. Hallelujah. Do we have the faith or the tenacity or the ability to create that environment? You have the means by which to do it because you have the blood, you have the Spirit of God. You have and you have the Word of God in your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when people come to me and they begin to talk to me about this and that, I scriptures start popping into my head. Scriptures start, or we're in a conversation, we're talking about something, and all of a sudden here comes this scripture that seemingly was provoked by whatever it is we're talking about, and we're not really necessarily talking about the things of the Lord, but we are talking about things in general, and the Spirit comes, the Word comes, and into my heart, into my mind. Hallelujah. And you know, usually I speak that word, I speak it out because I believe that God has an intent in that aspect of it.
Yes.
Well, sometimes we don't follow it through, but praise God. Hallelujah. He says, where was I?
18.
Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. That means always conscious in a position or a place, and there is a visual manifestation of it. Huh? Hallelujah. And ye shall teach them to your children.
Yes.
And speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. Brethren, have you ever noticed that when you are with a group of Christians, all right, we come out of a meeting and we go down to Hy-Vee for dinner. What do we talk about? What do you talk about? Did you talk about the moving of the Spirit in the meeting you just came out of? Are there parts of the Word that struck you that you want to talk about and share with? Or what do you talk about? You talk about the post office, you talk about the job, here or there. What do you talk about? What do you talk about? Huh? It says, yeah, everything except. Not very often do we bring up the discussion of the scriptures or the thing or the meeting or the moving of the Spirit or something that the Lord thought or a question that concerns it or whatever the case may be. Do we? Do we? Huh? You know, Brother Dusil, it was so appreciated. I'm so appreciated that we would be checking into the hotel. Checking into the hotel. And all of a sudden, he's talking to the woman over across the counter about some deep spiritual revelation. And the woman is obviously not a Christian. And we walk away and I say, Beth, I said, why would you talk to her about that? She's evidently not a Christian. He said, because that's what the Lord told me to tell her. And you don't know where that went. You understand. We're in an airport waiting for some people to get here. They come up with some of the people they're staying with, and the man is definitely not a Christian. And the man, and Cecil begins to talk to the man about pastors. Or maybe he was a denominational man. I don't know. And out of the blue, he just starts talking to the man about pastors. And I'm sitting here, what? Hallelujah. You couldn't sit down with the man and have a normal conversation. Well, I would consider normal.
Amen.
He was always bringing God into it. God was always talking to the man. And the man was always talking to everybody around him. Hallelujah. But we are so out of sync with the aspect of what is given to us as Christians. This is not extracurricular activity. This is Old Testament instructions. You understand? Hello? That deal with spiritual principles. Hallelujah. They're dealing with spiritual principles. Hallelujah. It says, therefore you shall lay up these my words, verse 18 again, in your heart and in your soul. It is to be indelibly written on my soul. Hallelujah. Go down to 19. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou layest down, and when thou risest up. You're to be always talking to your children about God.
24/7.
Evidently. You're even talking to them in your sleep, preaching at them or something. Huh? My goodness. How do I make up for my lack? How do I, my God, redeem me in the midst of my position or my place of responsibility? Help me to be the manifestation of the Word of God. I want to be a manifestation of the Word of God. I do not want the character of who and what I am by virtue of a natural birth to be the thing that is always preeminent in every conversation or every situation or circumstance that I find myself in.
Yes, Lord.
This old man must die.
Amen.
My responsibility to submit him to the death. I don't have to nail myself to the cross. There's plenty of people around who will do that for me. I just have to put myself on it.
Yeah. Amen.
I can't drive my own nails.
Amen. Huh?
I can't put my own, drive my own nails. How would I do that?
Amen.
Brother Ravenhill says the foot of the cross is always crowded.
Full of people.
It's full of people. No room. No room in the inn, he said. It's crowded. No place for anybody. He says the cross is always empty. Hallelujah. 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 My responsibility is to be conformed to the image of His death. Come on, brethren. If I want to share in the glory, I must be conformed to His death. Romans 6:5, for if we have been planted together in His in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection be in the likeness of His resurrection. But God, my God, if I don't die and if I'm not buried, I won't resurrect.
Yeah.
Yeah. It may be some people's thinking that it's their responsibility to kill me, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I have to submit. I have to conform. I have to put myself in the position of tribulation and trouble as it comes upon me. I don't want to make my own tribulation. No, sir. God spare me from that. Hallelujah. But there is enough tribulation that God has already orchestrated and put into place that by which He will begin to work at my behest and my request that I be conformed to that image. And there's a strength and authority that He gives me in it. Hallelujah. All right, I want to go back over here. Where's Z? Now, there was one scripture here. Romans 8, I believe it is. Oh yeah, Romans 8:17. Talking about sons of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Everybody can say amen to that, right?
Amen.
You don't sound too excited. Don't sound too excited because you read the rest of the verse, right? If may be, no, if so be that we suffer with him, and we what? Maybe to glorify together. No suffering, no glory. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we are at a crossroads. We are at a crossroads, individually, collectively. Hallelujah. God give us the wisdom. God give us the strength. God give us the tenacity and the determination to do what we need to do in order to be qualified to be part of the bride company.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.